Ready! It's time to turn on!
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in Turn on the News, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in Turn on the News each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
Welcome to the phone-in. Today we have on our panel our resident psychiatrist, a psychiatrist who isn't resident but is staying with the other one because he can't bear to go home, and a psychiatrist who has lived with the first one but who, when the second one arrived, felt alienated and since has undergone a total personality change. Our subject tonight is farming, and our first caller is from Reading.
Hello?
Hello, welcome to phone-in. What's your question to the panel?
You're through now.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello there, this is phone-in. What is your question?
Is Vic there?
Is Vic there? Is Vic there, Dr. Rogers?
Well, the problem here is a simple one. The caller wants to know if Vic is there. And in this case, Vic, as far as I can tell...
Can I chip in here, Alan?
Yes, of course.
I agree with what Rogers was going to say. As far as we can tell, Vic isn't here. The only thing she can do is to keep calling, and if Vic comes in, we'll let her know.
Does that answer your question?
Hello?
Hello?
Vic?
Yeah?
Good evening, sir. Welcome to phone in. What's your question?
It's Norman.
Hello, Norman. Welcome to the show. What's your question on farming?
Has he been round again?
Has he been round again? Professor Rogers?
Well, I...
Oh, no.
Professor Dibbs?
But he's been...
I think we've proved that Vic isn't here.
Bloody kill him.
And therefore, he couldn't have come round again. It's a fairly simple case of non-presence.
Thank you, Norman. I hope that answers your question.
I'll go round there and kill him. Is he down the pub?
I'm sorry, Norman. Only one question per caller. And now we move on to our next caller, please, on farming.
Hello. My name is Mummy Badger.
Get on with the question.
Yes, I farm over 4,000 acres, and I'd like to know the panel's attitude to the viability of cereal production in the EEC.
I'm sorry, we only want questions about farming. Next caller, please.
Hello?
Hello, it's Mr. Gannett from Dorchester, isn't it?
Dead.
Oh, dear.
But he left me his question in his will.
Oh, dear. Well, how sad, but let's hear the question.
Unfortunately, one of the conditions of the will is that I myself should not reveal the question.
Oh, dear. Well, can someone else reveal it?
Yes, he left provision.
I'm sorry, we're running out of time.
Yes, he left provision in the will that his wife should be able to reveal the question in certain circumstances.
Is she there?
Yes.
Well, perhaps she could read the question on farming, please.
Well, she's here, but she's not very well.
Well, is she well enough to read the question?
No, I wouldn't think so.
Well, is there anyone there who can read the late Mr. Gannett's question?
Only if the executors of the will were to agree on a revocation of the clause by applying for a codicil.
Well, I'm afraid we must leave that question there.
It could be rushed through in about 2 months.
Well, I'm afraid, I'm sorry, that's all we've got time for.
I'm in the phone booth, there's the one across the hall. If you don't answer, I'll just ring it up the wall. I know she's there, but I just had a call. Don't leave me hanging on the telephone. Don't leave me hanging on the telephone. I heard your mother, now she's going out the door. Did she go to work or just cook to the store? All those things she said I'd
This kind of excitement happens quite often. Did you hear about the guy that had his car parked the other day in front of a house, his own car, and it was legally parked in front of the street there, right where he parks it every day when he comes home from work. And he comes out the next day, and his car is gone. So if he, naturally, what would you figure? Stolen, right. That's right. Of course, you know what your problem is. You're using logic. Can get you in trouble today. So he figures that the car's stolen, so he calls up the police department. He says, "Hello, my car is stolen. My 1962 DeSoto," which, by the way, is what he had. Yeah, well, it wasn't a 62 DeSoto, it was a 57 DeSoto. So he says, "My 57 DeSoto has been stolen." At which point the cop says, "What's the number?" And so he says, "Well, it's number 6SJ7. It's green." And the cop says, "All right, hold on a minute, buddy." And he whips back and says, "We got no report of no stolen car like that." He says, "Well, I am reporting it. It's stolen. A 57 DeSoto. In fact, it was the DeSoto Newport model. It was green. Had white sidewalls." The guy says, "All right, I'll put it down on the books, buddy." And he hung up. Well, a couple of days go by, and, he didn't hear any more about it. And then it just so happened, one day, he is going past this junkyard, and what does he see in the junkyard but his car? Well, so he frantically tries to run around to find out how they got his car in the junkyard. And it just seems that just one of those mysterious things that happen. You know, they tow away derelict cars in this town, right? Or they say they do, right? Well, I saw it at 57 DeSoto, and after all, you see a 57 DeSoto. You come, your mind adds two and two together. It has to be a derelict. So they towed it out in the junkyard. And what's worse, before he could get it out of the junkyard, they made it into one of these little blocks of metal. And you threw it in the great big clamper. And boom, it's gone. Well, they gave him the block if he wanted it. He could have the block of metal. He made it into a very tasty coffee table. It's kind of nice. It's got the glass on top of it, this DeSoto. It's a collector's item now. But these fantastic things. Well, listen, now wait a minute. All right, don't laugh. I actually had this happen to me one day. This happened to me a couple of years ago. I had this apartment, right? And you would be surprised. Everybody here in New York thinks that only New York is all loused up. They think only Con Ed, only Ma Bell, New York. That's all, let me tell you. I'm in Cincinnati. Now, that sounds like a bucolic town, right? Well, I rented an apartment. So I had this apartment, and everything is under control. And I called up the phone company. I said, "I'd like to have a telephone." And they said, "Okay, that's all right. That's a reasonable request. You're a modern citizen. You have to have a telephone." So I said, "Okay." And they said, "What is the address?" And I told them the address. And the guy on the other end of the phone says, "Well, what kind of a phone do you want?" I said, "Well, I want one I can talk into. And it's got a bell. It rings when somebody's calling me. That's all I wanted." And he says, "No, I don't mean that. I mean, what kind of a telephone do you want? We have all kinds. We have pink slimline types. We got a kind that fits over your head like a helmet. We got all kinds of groovy telephones. And what kind do you want?" I said, "Well, I don't know. I mean, I never thought about it. I just thought I wanted a phone." And he said, "Well, we'll send out a salesman, and he'll show you the phones." I said, "Well, I got to have this phone this afternoon. I mean, if you can put it in, I'd like to talk to the salesman, but just send the phone out. I don't care." He says, "Well, sir, of course, you realize then that we take no responsibility. You're not giving us any direct information on what you actually want." So you want a telephone. Well, we will install a line, but you'll just have to rely on our judgment then. Is that right? I said, well, now, I don't know about that. I'll tell you what I'd like. How about a black one? He said, a black one? Apparently, that's very unusual today. I didn't realize that. Nobody buys black phones anymore. He said, that'll have to be a special order. I said, what? He says, well, we have the Princess Slimline comes in green, purple, avocado, comes in burnt orange, sienna. So, but, the, you know, the black phone is generally reserved for office use. I said, well, what, you mean I got to get a colored phone? He says, yes, that'll be 50 cents extra for the colored phone. I said, 50 cents extra for a colored phone. Now, you say that I have to put through a special order for a black phone. How much is that? He says, well, a special order is $5. Oh. I said, there's no way for me then to get just a phone. If I want a black one, that's an exotic order. If I want a red or pink one or a blue one or an avocado one, it's 50 cents extra. Extra for what? Extra on top of what? He said, well, sir, I'll send out a salesman. It's too complicated to discuss on the phone. Which, by the way, says something about the phone system right there. Some things are so complicated you can't talk about. So I finally says, look, okay, how about sending me an avocado phone? I mean, you know, I kind of like avocados. I like avocados, a little mayonnaise, a little salt and pepper. It's kind of good, especially when they're ripe. And he says, very good. That's a nice selection. That is one of our most popular phones. You want the Princess Avocado phone? Yes. And the address? I said, blah, blah, blah. He says, okay. We will send you a Princess Avocado phone. Thank you very much, sir. He says, is there going to be somebody to let him in? I says, oh, yes, indeed. The landlord sits like a hawk, that landlord sits like a damn vulture down there, watching everything that every tenant does. He writes it down in a notebook. I don't know why. He'll be there. Watch for him. He's got these black glasses. He wears shades and a hearing aid. So at that point, I hung up. Well, you hear what happened. So it just so happened I'm out of town for the next 2 days, see? Well, I come back the next couple of days, and I wander into my apartment, you know, and it's nighttime. And I, at first, I didn't suspect. See, I wander in. It was a real crummy little apartment. I might add that the apartment was roughly the size of about, oh, six or seven New York phone booths laid end to end. And it was that shape. It was a long, skinny, one-room apartment. And it had at the end, it had what they call an efficiency, which is a sink built in the wall. That's what it is. And what a rotten apartment it was. And it was the only apartment I could get, see, over this summer. And so, you know, I did it. I rented it. And you know what that apartment looked like? Did you remember this public service spot they had one time for fair housing or something, where this guy walks around and he drops a cigar butt in a John? He said, well, you better take it, buddy. They're going to be, because a lot of people would like this place. Now, you can do a lot with his house. You remember that one? Terrible-looking apartment. So there I am, and I walk into my apartment, and I turn the light switch on. And it was kind of lucky that night. It worked. And I flip the light switch on, and a couple of the lights go on like that. And at first, I didn't look around. I put my bag down. I'd been out of town. And I go back into the efficiency. Because it had a little refrigerator. It's funny, you know, some apartments, I don't think they actually sell refrigerators like that. If you've ever moved into an apartment, it has a refrigerator about the size of a, well, about the size of a matchbox, painted white. Have you ever seen those little tiny refrigerators? Oh, come on in. What are you talking about? This is a refrigerator you couldn't get your foot in. Yeah. In fact, a Coke bottle has to bend over double to get into it. Makes little bitty ice cubes the size of aspirins. So, nevertheless, I go back there and see. And this was such a little refrigerator that all I could have was one can of this beer. I had a little flat can. Cans are great for that type of refrigerator. You can't get any bottle in there. So I had one can of beer. It was all it would hold, see. So I come back there, and I open the thing up, and I take out my can of beer, which, of course, emptied my entire refrigerator, except for the wilted lettuce that was always at the bottom of it. It had been left over from the previous tenant. I don't, you know, I don't want to mess with it. You never know. He might come back and want it. He left it there. So I take out my bottle of beer, and I open a beer bottle, open a can of beer. I look around, I can't believe what I see. There on the wall is this magnificent avocado wall telephone on the wall. So I said, oh, by George, they put my phone in. Look at that. That's a wall telephone. That's kind of great, you know. It looks great. Right over the sink there, see. So I said, I wonder if it works. So I take the, you know how excited it is, you know, when you get your first phone, see. So I take it off and go, and it's got a dial tone, just like a real phone, see. So at that point, it had the dial was inside the phone itself, see. So I figured I'm gonna call my friend up, see. So I dial a number, and he comes on the phone. He says, yeah, hi. I says, hey, George, listen, I just got my new phone. And he said, oh, yeah? Congratulations. And I said, no, come on, please. I mean, let me have my little pleasure. I said, George, I just got my new phone. It's an avocado wall phone. And it looks great over it. It's the only thing that looks good in this whole apartment, this crappy, rotten, stinky hole I'm living in. And it looks great. I'm going to sit here and just watch my phone hour after hour. I said, it looks beautiful. I said, George, you do me a favor. He said, yeah, what? I said, I'll hang up and you call me back. You'll make the first call on my phone. And he said, oh, well, all right, that's thrilling. I said, yes, it is. And he said, what's the number? So I look on the number, and it's 6SJ7GT. So I said, that's my new number, 6SJ7GT. He said, okay, hang up, and I'll dial. So I hung up the phone. I waited. And I take a slug of beer. All of a sudden, the phone goes, but I can't believe it. It's ringing all around the apartment. I hear ringing coming from inside where the bed folds out on the wall, and it's ringing in the front there where I got my one little closet. It had a closet, a little skinny, narrow closet that had been a place where they used to store ironing boards. It was the only closet in the whole damn house. I had one coat that I could hang in there. And it's ringing all over the place. So I pick up the phone. I says, hey, George, I can't figure it out. It's ringing all over the place here. He says, what do you mean? I says, well, the phone just rang, and it's ringing all over the apartment, not just at this phone. He says, well, you got an extension? I says, extension? Are you out of your mind? This is a one-room apartment. In fact, it takes a lot of optimism to call it a one-room apartment. I mean, you've ever seen those apartments listed as a 1.5 efficiency? Well, I've got the half. I don't know who got the room. I got the half. And he says, well, you better look around, man. So he says, listen, I don't have time to mess around with you on the phone. I said, okay, George. So I go, I turn around, and then I see the Cincinnati Telephone Company in all of its beneficence had gotten the idea that what I wanted was three extensions. I had telephones on all the walls. All avocado, I might add, and very tastefully decorated. So at that point, I waited till the next day. See, I didn't want to call them at 3 in the morning, which it was at that time. So I called the business office. You know, in the front where it says business, you call them up. I call the business office, and this lady comes on the phone. Hello, this is the phone company. Mrs. Murphy speaking. I said, well, look, Mrs. Murphy, I have a very curious problem here.
Yes?
I said, well, the problem consists of this, Mrs. Murphy.
Yes, please. Excuse me one moment. I have a line. A call on the other line.
Son of a gun. I waited about 20 minutes. I get this buzz. And then finally, it drops. You know what happens after about 20 minutes? It drops. It goes, argh. I said, oh, for crying out loud. There goes 9 message units, and I didn't even get her. So I dial her again. And again, who's on the phone? It's Mrs. Murphy.
Now, hello, phone company business office. This is the trouble department. Mrs. Murphy speaking.
I said, Mrs. Murphy, now, wait a minute. I just got you on the phone. Do you remember me? Now, wait a minute. Don't hang up. Hold on. Now, wait a minute. Hold it. Here's my problem. I ordered a phone here at my apartment. And when I came back to my apartment after being out of town 2 days, I arrived in the apartment, and I have 3 extension phones. I have 3 telephones here. Now, I know that that's extra, right?
Yes, the extension telephone costs $1.75 a month extra for the phone, unless it is an avocado Princess Shearline phone, at which point it is $4.75 extra per extension. Thank you very much. She's gone.
I guess she thought I wanted to find out just how much it's going to cost me, see? So at that point, I dialed again. And I get, who do I get? Mrs. Murphy speaking. I said, well, Mrs. Murphy, wait a minute, hold it. This is the guy with the avocado phones. I have three extensions. Now, Mrs. Murphy, I did not order any extensions. I do not want an extension.
Well, what do you expect me to do about it?
I said, well, now, wait a minute. I tell you what I want you to do. You call up the billing department and tell them to come and take out two of the extensions. I have three phones in my apartment. It is a one-room apartment. Now, I can sit in the middle of the room and talk to all three phones at once. I do not need an extension. I don't know why they put on an extension.
Thank you very much. I will take care of it.
What up? It's gone. Well, I was all excited, you know, finally I was going to get it all straightened out. I kind of liked the green one. I figured, well, what I'll do is keep the green one over the sink. Because it added a little touch to that efficiency place back there, which looked pretty shoddy, as a matter of fact. You know what that efficiency looked like? The back end of a jail cell. Yeah, it had a little skinny window over the top there with bars on it, with gray. It looked out into an air shaft. It looked like the back end of a... I can just see Gene Kelly escaping from that room. You know, standing on the sink and tying all the bed sheets together. And in the next cell is Hume Cronin. And they're fighting in the underground in France. So, nevertheless, I figured, well, when he comes, I'm gonna tell him to leave it over the sink. See, nothing. He doesn't come today. He doesn't come tomorrow. He doesn't come the 30th. I figured, well, what the heck? You know, what do I care? I got the phone. I've made my objection. Well, then what happened is the bill arrived, and I have billed for three extension phones. Well, I called up my friend again. See, and I said, before she could even open her mouth, she says, Mrs. Murphy there? Hello, this is Mrs. Murphy speaking. I said, Mrs. Murphy, look, you remember me? I'm the guy with the extension phones.
Yes, I do recall the case. I believe they were avocado.
I said, yes, they are avocado. Now, Mrs. Murphy, would you please tell them in the billing department I don't want to pay for three phones, and I want them to come out and take two of the extensions out. Now, I don't think it's fair for me to pay for all them extensions. Because I just don't want all those. I didn't ask them for those again, and they come and put them in on their own. I said, they could have hung up 400 phones in here and charged me for them. They could put 1,000 phones. What am I going to do? And she said, I will take care of the problem. Thank you. Well, I go out for about an hour the next day to get myself some sliced salami. Because I was living right close to the vest in those days, and I could not afford to eat in restaurants and stuff. So I went out to get myself 15 cents worth of very sliced, very thinly sliced salami, which I could put on some bread that I had stolen at a restaurant. When I went to a restaurant, you know, they had bread pile up. I took the bread, see? So I'm making myself a sandwich. Well, I come back after being out for an hour, and what do you think's happened? No phones. They've taken all my phones out. So I run down the street, I put a dime in the payphone, and I call up guess who? Yeah, that's right.
Mrs. Murphy speaking.
I said, Mrs. Murphy, you have sent somebody out to take my phones out.
I have just received orders from you personally, and I have it right here on my notebook, to remove the telephones from your apartment. Now, if you wish those telephones to be reinstalled, there will be a $30 charge.
Oh, my God. I hung up. Well, to make a long story boring and short, and boil it down to the mulligatawny stew that it was, that was one of the most peaceful summers I ever spent. I never got a phone. I just gave it all up. And, you know, I discovered how easy it is to get by without a phone. It's amazing. You don't get all those crank calls. You don't get all those guys saying,
hello, sir. I represent the Acme Life Insurance Company and Storm Window Organization. And we have your name as a man.
No, I don't want storm windows. I used to get calls saying,
you have won a $5 certificate at the Tango Dance Studios.
I do not want to take tango lessons. Once in a while, I get a call from one of my friends calling up from downtown to ask me if I can quick get $200 to bail them out. Which actually happened to me. Have you ever gone down to bail a friend out? You haven't lived a very rich life, Al. In fact, I got down there with the $200 to bail my friend out, and I damn near wound up in jail myself. I look like somebody we're looking for. That actually happened. So would you go over there with Sergeant Mulligatawny there for a minute? Wait in that room over there. Next thing you know, they came so close to put the cuffs on me, I couldn't figure out what's going on. But so I got by without a phone. Incidentally, Mrs. Murphy kept sending me bills for the phone that I did have for a day and a half, including the three extensions. I don't know whatever happened with that. Well, they'll trail you to the ends of the earth. Oh, yeah. You try to take out a phone in Provo, Utah, and they'll tell you you owe that phone company back in Cincinnati. I mean, trying to get all those extensions and then not wanting to pay for them, and then on top of that, ordering avocado, which is a special color, and oh, you know.
Mrs. Murphy speaking. At your service.
Yeah, this is WOR New York. Stay tuned for In Conversation.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.